Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. This is the reading of God's Word. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him, and welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each." They did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so we may hear, and our faith will grow, and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us, and so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear, but believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Luke, we see our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. As I told you many times, through his teaching and his works, the reality of the kingdom of God is being witnessed. He calls his disciples to participate in his holy work of furthering his kingdom, and we saw that last week. And chapter 9, verse 10, when the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. In Luke chapter 9, verse 2, we see Jesus sending his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And in verse 10, we see them coming back to Jesus to give an account to him of all that they had done. Now, our book of Luke tells us that Jesus took his disciples and he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But if we read Mark chapter 6, verse 31, we see Jesus telling his disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." Luke chapter 9, verse 10, maybe that place is called Bethsaida, according to Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And Luke chapter 9 verse 11, but the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, Jesus began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. The people, crowds, were aware of Jesus going to Bethsaida, and they followed him. So many people followed him, but we read that Jesus welcomes them. He began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and healing those who need of healing. Now, we could see from that what Jesus does is exactly the same thing that Jesus sends his disciples to do, proclaiming the kingdom of God and healing. Again, we see that the disciples are called to participate in his work. You have to think this way. Our salvation is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. None of us contributed to this accomplishment of God's salvation. And he continues to work. And whenever we are called, he's calling us to participate in his glorious work. This is his will. But you must always think in terms of your participation in his work. Not that we do our own work to accomplish things and we offer our accomplishments to God. Because without his grace, we cannot even do anything. The event that we are looking at today is commonly called the feeding of the 5,000, because it tells you there were 5,000 men, meaning there were a lot more than 5,000, because if they're men, there would, you know, we cannot just imagine that only men are gathered. Women are gathered also. And kids. So way, way more than 5,000. But 5,000 men. And with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now, this story is in all 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all have this story. Same story. But if we read all 4 Gospels, then we will see that even though all 4 stories are the same, about the same event, the authors have different perspectives and points that they want to emphasize. So today's sermon will focus on the story that we find in the book of Luke, even though we could see the same story in other books. Our focus will be on the book of Luke. Verse 12. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." You get the idea. The day is ending, meaning night is near and everyone is hungry. So the disciples, they come to Jesus and say, "Send the crowd away so they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat." Why? Because the place that they gather, according to that verse, is a desolate place. For here, we are in a desolate place. And if we continue to read Luke chapter 9, verse 13, "But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for these people.' for there were about 5,000 men. Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. Now, this is truly absurd to the disciples who have little faith like us. You give them something to eat, but with what and how? But disciples, they must learn. They must believe that spiritual reality that they are participating in and what kind of authority that is given to them. They must know and believe who Jesus Christ is. Jesus has already told them as he sent them away, sent them out, not to take anything with them. They already experienced God's provisions. And yet, they already forgotten. And Jesus told them not to take anything with them. Why? So that they were able to just completely trust God and focus on God. And everything that they needed was given to them. In chapter 5, when they did not catch any fish, they listened to Jesus and lowered the net and caught so many fish. During the Exodus, God gave his people manna, the bread that came down from heaven. They need to understand who Jesus Christ is. The disciples must learn, and we must learn. We must believe. But think about the situation. 5,000 men, they must eat. And disciples, with their own abilities and possession, it is absolutely impossible to solve the problem that they are facing. No matter how much we think about the problem, no matter how many times we recalculate and think about what we must do, it is still impossible. The only thing that they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, some people say that, you know, even if you have so little, if you give that to God, God will use it mightily. They will understand this story that way. But the focus of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish is not that however small you have, you give it to God and he will use it mightily. But it focuses on the fact that with their own ability and what they have, it's just impossible for them to solve the problem they're facing. It shows how utterly hopeless and helpless we are without God. How could they feed 5,000 men with just that? But we are reminded of what Jesus had said in Luke chapter 5, verse 23, when he was healing a paralytic. He said, which is easier, to say your sins have been forgiven you or to say get up and walk? Which is easier? Both. Only God could do it. So which is easier, to say your sins have been forgiven you or to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Which is easier? God could do both. So if you could believe that Jesus can save you from sin, if he said your sins are forgiven, you must also believe that Jesus could feed 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Is there anything that Jesus cannot do? God requires a faith. That's why he said that if you have a faith that is size of mustard seed, you could actually move the mountain. But we just don't believe. You even thinking to yourself, how can mountain be moved? That's why you will never be able to move mountain just like me. I can't. Because we just don't believe. In Numbers 11, Moses asked God how he could feed God's people of meat. And they were complaining of the manna. You know, I could say a lot about complaining of the manna. Manna points to Jesus Christ. And God gives us the true manna, which is the Word of God, Jesus' Word. And we feed upon Jesus. So, being, you know, they're complaining about manna. They say, every day, same manna. It's just the same thing as, oh, I come to this church and every time it's the same gospel, same Jesus Christ. They complain. But that's the only thing we have. So they were complaining of manna. Numbers 11 verse 13. Where am I, Moses saying to God, where am I to get meat to give to all these people? Should flocks and herds be slaughtered from them to be sufficient for them? Or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient of them? And God answers, Numbers 11, verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. You and I am aware of this all the time. We have the task of feeding so many people also. We have task of feeding Jesus Christ. But with our own abilities and possession, it is not possible. But we do have Jesus Christ. He will feed His people. And we are participating in His work with faith that He will feed His people. And I believe He's the one who provided this place so that people can come and feed upon Jesus Christ even today. Everything that we need, I know God will provide. Unless it is His will that His people go hungry. But why would that be His will? In John chapter 6, we see the same event. And there, Jesus connects this event with the manna of the Old Testament. Then in Luke chapter 9, verse 14b, and He said to His disciples, have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each. 50. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, we see God selects leaders. Leaders over thousands, hundreds, and fifties, and tens. This kind of thing points our attention to the Exodus. And it is more clear in the book of John, but by doing this, drawing our attention to the Exodus, these writers of the Bible, they want us to see through this kind of event that Jesus is accomplishing the new Exodus. Because Jesus is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Jesus is accomplishing the kingdom of God. It is the new creation. It is the new Exodus. And you are members of this new Exodus. So you have to see what you are reading in this passage as your own story. In this journey to heaven, Exodus, you came out from the world and sin, and you're journeying towards heaven. And on this new Exodus, can you see? Even as you sit there right now, can you see God feeding you with Himself so that you could feed upon Jesus so that you may live? This is your reality. What do you think this worship is about? Of course, the main thing is about we gather unto God in heaven. But we are still here. We are on our journey to our eternal home. But Jesus faithfully feeds you with Himself. Just like God fed them in the Old Testament, the bread from heaven. But the true bread from heaven is Jesus Christ. And God is feeding you, Jesus Christ. New Exodus, already begun, and we are in the middle of it, and one day, we will get there. But, spiritually speaking, we're already there. See, there are so many aspects, we could say so many things about our reality. What is our life here really means? God shows us through all these stories what is actually happening in our lives. What is our eternal reality that we possess in Jesus Christ? And that is what we are looking at. New Exodus. Meaning Exodus from this world and sin. In the Old Testament, God led His people through the wilderness. But in the book of Luke, a desolate place. God leading His people as His sheep and feeding them with manna. Now Jesus, who came as the true shepherd, leads His people and gave them Himself as the true manna. He makes them lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside quiet waters. He prepares a table before them. Thus their cups overflow. God is their shepherd and they do not lack anything. And that is what is happening in our passage. And spiritually speaking, that is what is happening in our lives. Because what we see in God's revelation is the reality in which we belong. It's our story. It's our story. So on your journey to heaven, expect your Lord feeding you so that you could continue your journey. Grow even. But the disciples, they do not see the heavenly realities. They're just blind to it. Only focus, their focus was worldly. It's how to take care of them physically. Yes, God will even do that, take care of us physically, but more importantly, He will take care of us spiritually. Which means even if I don't have any food so I die today, I'm going to be still okay. Because I will find myself in the presence of God as soon as I die here. See, disciples must see the heavenly reality in this event. They do not see how Jesus is leading them to green pastures and preparing a table for fellowship for them. See, you see, Jesus is not just merely satisfying their physical hunger. Because this event points to the heavenly reality of God's people eating and drinking with their God in the eternal heavenly banquet. Luke chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, and he said to his disciples, have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each, and they did so and had them all sit down. You know, they sat down, it says. But more accurately, if you read the original language, it means they reclined. You know, this is the posture of the guests as they participate in a banquet. At the time when you go to banquet, you recline. So, you know, when you see the Lord's table, you know that picture? Everybody sitting down and Jesus is right in the middle, you know that picture? That's kind of wrong because they reclined whenever they were invited to some kind of banquet. That's how they eat. Very not, you know, beneficial to your stomach or things like that, but that's what they did. So here, they reclined. Again, that's the picture God wants us to see. Now, what else do you see then? Here, we see that people are reclined, and who is serving? Luke chapter 22, verse 27. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. The people of God are exalted as Jesus and His disciples serve the people who are reclined. Beautiful picture. This points to their heavenly reality of sitting at the glorious position in heaven. That is our heavenly reality. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. And that is exactly what is being witnessed in our story. God comes, the master comes and serving the slaves who are waiting for him. Jesus gives to his people. But he gives to his disciples, and the disciples give to people. You know, in the book of John, John just says that Jesus gave his people. Even though he knew that Jesus first gave it to disciples and disciples gave it to people. But John just skips all that in the middle and says Jesus gave to people. John chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. But you know from other passages that that's not what happened. But John says it as if that is what happened. Meaning that even though Jesus is giving it to the disciples and they give it to people, it's just like Jesus giving directly to the people. This is how we are to understand. Yes, Jesus uses pastor like me to give the elements to you. Jesus uses pastor like me to even baptize Gracie today. But you have to see beyond me. You have to see that it is Jesus who gave the baptism to Gracie directly. That's what is happening. This has to be your understanding. Because middle men, they're nothing. But we're so grateful that God would use us in His work. And we are so thankful. See, disciples are participating in what Jesus is doing. This is what I'm talking about. I've been saying this from the beginning of this sermon. It is as if Jesus directly gives to the people. The same reality is witnessed in our Lord's Supper. Jesus is giving Himself directly to you, even though the pastor and the elders are used. We must remember that the pastor and the elders are not superior to you. And if a pastor or elder thinks that he is superior because he is giving out, that's not what the Bible says. Who is greater? Who is sitting down? Who is serving? Unless you're so dumb, you're not going to think that way. But if elder or pastor is thinking that way, man, that's sad. We must remember that the pastor and the elders are not superior to you. And during that Lord's Supper, God is exalting you, putting you at a higher position. Because you are seated and pastor and elders are serving you. Meaning that Jesus is serving you. And you should feel so overwhelmed what Jesus is doing to you. He's serving you. And we should imitate Him, serving one another. Luke chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, that He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. They ate and they were satisfied. The satisfaction of heaven is being witnessed. God gives His people the eternal satisfaction of heaven. Again, this is a picture of your heavenly reality. What are you lacking in heaven? What are you not satisfied with in heaven? And you must believe. Because if your focus is on this world, of course you're not going to be satisfied. Because there are always more people out there who have more than you. How can you be satisfied with that? But if your focus is in heaven, you will be satisfied because you have everything. You even have God Himself as your eternal inheritance. But to sinners, this world is everything. That's why they're never satisfied. This is the problem of sinners. I'm telling you, they are never satisfied. Oh, they tell you, oh, if I have like a couple million dollars, I'll be satisfied. You give them a couple million and just wait a little bit, they will show you they're not satisfied. Guaranteed. But understand, believe your heavenly reality. You are satisfied because God feeds you with Jesus Christ. See, even this, you have to believe. Believe that you are satisfied. See, this is why some people will say Christianity is about brainwashing. But am I just brainwashing you, or am I talking about your actual reality? Are you satisfied in heaven? You are. And you will forever. I'm not asking you to imagine things. I'm talking about the truth. But people just don't believe. They don't believe what Christ has accomplished for them. Because their whole focus is visible. This world. This heavenly banquet, it was promised from the Old Testament, Isaiah 25 verse 6, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. That day, Isaiah 25 verse 8, he will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of people, his people, from all the earth. Do you see it then? Jesus came and he fulfills God's promise. In heaven, this reality will be visibly consummated. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 through 30. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. That reality is being witnessed in our passage. Luke chapter 13, verse 29. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. This banquet is the marriage banquet of our Lord Jesus Christ and us as his bride. We will eat and drink with Jesus Christ, meaning we'll have that eternal fellowship with him. And you and I are truly blessed. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ? He is the Messiah. The Messiah came and accomplishing the Messianic kingdom. He saves his people and he feeds them eternally. And his people are eternally satisfied. This is our heavenly reality. You are seeing a glimpse of your heaven's reality in our passage. Because that's exactly what the Bible is all about, showing you your eternal reality that Christ has accomplished. Even now, brothers and sisters, he feeds you himself. And we are called to participate in him feeding his people. We must believe. He feeds his people and no one is lacking. Everyone is satisfied. You must entrust everything to him and trust him. He will give everything we need to do his holy work. Jesus gives himself completely. And Jesus also says to us, "You give them something to eat." So we give Jesus Christ. Yes, he will give us all we need to do this work, even the things of this world. But to give Jesus Christ, we are able to do this without the things of this world. We could give Jesus until all are satisfied. see our heavenly reality through the passage for today. Yes, we are already gathered in heaven. All the churches witness this reality as we gather to worship and administer the Lord's Supper. Oh, Jesus, our Lord, is feeding us. Even now, Jesus feeds us and leads us through the church and His officers. We cannot do this on our own ability and power, but Jesus accomplishes it, everything, through the church. Yes, in this world of wilderness, we're passing through. But God is with us. Every Lord's Day, as we gather for worship, that is clearly shown that God is with us. And He feeds us. Even as we hear His word, we are eating, feeding upon Jesus Christ. And we are satisfied with Jesus Christ. And if you truly believe what has accomplished for you in heaven, you will be satisfied. Because you're not lacking anything. This is why I say, not being happy is sin. I don't care what you might give the reason why you're not happy. I don't care. It's still sin. Because you have every reason to be happy. You are satisfied. Because God gave you everything. And if you're not satisfied with everything that God has given you, there's nothing that could make you satisfied. Absolutely nothing. So either you truly understand what you possess, or that you already understand and be very, very happy. Our cups overflow. Do you see your cup overflowing with God's grace, His blessings? His grace overflows. And this is our spiritual heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, once you believe, we are satisfied. Very satisfied. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the heavenly banquet that You prepare for us, even as we go through the wilderness of this world. The banquet is prepared so that we may sit down with God and have that sweet fellowship with You, our God. Oh Father, let us feed upon Your Son, Jesus Christ, our spiritual nourishment, our everything, and continue on this journey until we see Jesus Christ face to face. But Father, let us understand what has already given to us so that we may be satisfied. And with that satisfaction, let us live this life here on earth, witnessing the heavenly satisfaction that we already possess. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.